نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد صدق الله العظيم Continuing with our subject about mujahada, that is to strive, to struggle, to control ourselves so that we can acquire the nearness, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which will enable us to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart so that we can purify our heart and our salvation inshallah will be made in the hereafter. Regarding this topic of mujahada, which is very, very, very important, which is the main issue in controlling ourselves, we said last time there are two types of mujahada, two types of struggling. One is the physical struggling and one is the spiritual one. Regarding the physical one, we said there are four types of struggling mujahada that we do. One is to sleep less, to talk less, to eat less, and to mix with people to a lesser extent. Last week we did discuss about the issue of eating. Today, inshallah al-Aziz, we're going to deal with the issue of speech. The ayat al-Karima I have read in front of you, all the Sufyan al-Kiram, they have mentioned this ayat as a starting point to shake our mind a bit, to realize the seriousness of speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, which is in Surah Al-Qaf, verse 15, that man does not utter a single word, ma yalfizu min qawlin. He doesn't utter a single word, illa ladayhi, but by his side there is a ready guard at hand. Raqib, a guard who is watchful, 24 hours watching him. This ayat is food for thought, that our kiram and katibin is writing everything that we are doing. If we do not have mahsus, we do not feel the existence of kiram and katibin. With the Quran say kiram and katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alun, then we got to ask ourselves what is the status of our iman. This is a direct revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is telling us that we have two angels by our side on our shoulders writing everything that we do, and yet we are not conscious about this. Then we got to question our iman. It is a serious matter. So everything that we say, we do, is being written down. The tongue is an ajib organ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Really ajib. If we ponder on the marvels of the tongue expresses what is hidden in the heart. The tongue is the only organ that can express what you got, what you feel in your heart. And the heart is a repository of all the divine inspiration, is a recipient of all the divine inspiration. At the same time, the heart is a place where the waswas of shaitan goes into it. For this reason, there is two creations that are fighting over our heart. One is shaitan, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. In Qura'ah Zabi Nas, we read, those that will make waswasa in our heart, that troubles our heart among the jinnat and mankind as well. But also, there is a special farishta Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created called Al-Mulhim, from the word Ilham. This farishta also inspires our heart about good. And it is our tongue that will express which of the two have won over our heart. Either shaitan's waswasa or is it the mulhim waswasa? And the tongue plays a very, very important role. It is a spokesman of the brain as well, the mind as well. Whatever thought comes in our mind, it's our heart that can describe it. All other organs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, for example, the eyes. The eyes is limited to shape and colors. Our ears, they are limited to sounds. That's it. We cannot go further than this. But the tongue, Allahu Akbar, is an ajib ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gift of the gap. In fact, it comes in a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that eloquence, when a person has mastered his tongue, inna minal bayana la sihr, a person who has eloquence. Rasulullah says eloquence is magic. You can bring a revolution. The simple example, you take Khomeini, who was in Paris. From Paris he was giving his lectures, he make a revolution in Iran in the 1970s. Yet the man was not in Iran in the revolution. I'm not a Shia, by the way. I'm just saying the power of the tongue. You see, Adolf Hitler, at times it doesn't go in the mind how he convinced the German to burn the Jews. What was the power of the tongue to force people to do that? We are not approving what he did, but I'm just expressing, I'm showing to you what is the power of the tongue to burn people, to send them in concentration camps. What was the power of the tongue of Hitler? What was the power of Khomeini staying in Paris and making a revolution in Tehran? This is the power of the tongue. Ajeeb power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. If those people could do that, then what was the power of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu? What was the power of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? What was the power of Usman radiallahu anhu? What is the power of Ali radiallahu ta'ala? What is the power of the Sahaba, the eminent Sahaba and the great Wali of Allah? Ajeeb. Once it was asked to Haji Imdadullah Makki rahmatullah alayhi. He was sitting in Bayan. And he said, he was not an alim, but he was the spiritual mentor of great ulama, like Mawlana Shafi Thani rahmatullah alayhi. Was his murid. So, when he was not an alim, but he said to people, when you speak hadith, I know it is hadith, is not your words. People say, how come? You see, when you speak hadith coming out of your mouth, I see a nur coming. When it is your own words, there is no nur there. So what is the power of the tongue? It is reported in a hadith, I don't know the status of the hadith, when a person stands in his salah, and when he articulates the Quran, there is a group of farishta that come and put his mouth here to take this articulation of the words, the kalam of Allah into him. This is the power of the tongue, the karamat of the tongue. Yet the same very tongue can bring us to the deep end of Jahannam. Because it is the sin associated with the tongue is so much, it's countless sin, that it comes in a hadith, when man wakes up in the morning, all the organs of the body addresses the tongue and say, beware of us, you'll be accountable. Because if you are all right, all of us will be all right. If you are not all right, we are all in trouble. This is the role of the tongue in a man. This is why the ulama kiram says, it is very, very important to control the tongue. I'm going to give you another secret that the ulama say. The shaitan cannot make waswasa in your heart until you do not express what is in your heart. Once you know what is in your heart, it comes out, shaitan knows what is in your heart and your mind. Then only shaitan nurtures your thought. You got a problem with your wife, which is common. Oh, this woman, she makes too much gossip. Now shaitan starts knowing, now this is your weak point. Now shaitan, you know, listen properly when she's talking on the phone. You know when your mother-in-law comes, nah? Listen what she's talking. You know when she talks to her sisters, nah? Beware. Now shaitan starts, now suddenly every petty thing your wife will talk, waswasa, 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 it ends up in a divorce. This is why it's important to control the tongue, because the moment shaitan knows what is in your tongue, what is in your heart, it starts nurturing it. This is why controlling of the tongue is very important. This is why the Prophet of Allah said, avoid talking. If you are to talk, talk good. This will help you to defeat the devil. This will help you to defeat the devil. Because Allah or Shaitan does not know what is in your heart. Because if Shaitan knows what is in your heart, it's Alimul Ghaib. But that's only Allah who knows that. But the moment he speaks it, Shaitan knows what you have in your heart and it starts exploiting the situation. For this reason, you will find that the tongue, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid so much emphasis on that, so much emphasis. In this short while, we cannot go in all the ahadith, all the ayat of Quran regarding how we must control our tongue. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who was one of the leading, was the chief of the Quraysh in Makkah, and then he embraced Islam. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me an advice that after your death, I don't have to go anybody to seek this advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, believe, say I believe and stay firm on it. Then he said, tell me something that I should be afraid of. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take out his tongue and showed his tongue. This is very, very important. There are so many Sahabi, like Uqbah radiallahu ta'ala, and same thing, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, show me the way for salvation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, control your tongue. Control your tongue. Have wuskat in your house and cry over your sin. There are so many ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who guarantees me that he will control his tongue and his private part, I guarantee him Jannah. For Rasulullah to guarantee Jannah, brothers, think about that. Just think about the word, I guarantee Jannah. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come forward, the same Rasul who told his daughter Fatima, hey Fatima, ask me whatever you want in this world, I can. But in Akhirat, I can't do anything for you. How serious this is. Because there we don't know what will happen. Yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, a person who controls his tongue and who controls his private part, I give guarantee of Jannah. Think about that. How serious this matter is. This is why controlling of the tongue is very, very important. Very important. This is why we have to differentiate now. Speechless and absolute silence. We got to differentiate. Sharia does not tell us to put a seal on our mouth. That's not what Sharia said. We got to understand the balance, the rationality behind the Masla Masail. What Ulama tells us is there are four types of speech. Four types. Some speech we speak is only beneficial. The second one is only harmful. It's just harm, ghibat, slandering, backbiting, swearing. The third type of speech is the one which is mixed with some harm and some benefit. And the fourth type of speech, there is no harm, no benefit. So four types of speech. I repeat it. Very important. If you want to make our islah, this is a starting point. When before we talk, think, which category are we talking? Either it's only good there, beneficial, or it is only harmful, or there's a mixture, it's a mix of good and bad, or there is no good or bad in there, no benefit. The masla is the harmful talk, we can talk. The one which is, no, Mark, the beneficial talk, Mark, we got to talk it, speak it out. In fact, it's an ibadat to speak good speech. The harmful one, it is compulsory to abstain from it. There is no two ways about it. We must not talk about it. It's haram to make ribat. It is haram to break the heart of a Muslim. Al-Muslimuna man salim al-Muslim min lisani wa yadi. A Muslim is a person whose other brother is protected against the harm of his tongue and his hands. That's the definition of a Muslim in the light of Hadith. Rasulullah said, a Muslim is a person who other people are protected against the harm of his tongue and the harm of his hands. So, it is wajib, it is faraz to abstain from those type of talk, the second category, which is harmful. Regarding the talk, which is mixed with benefit and some harm in it, Ulama says even this one, it is necessary to abstain. Why? Because in the process, we can harm somebody's feeling. In the process, we can be ghibat of somebody. In the process, we can take something which is not good coming out of our mouth. Therefore, don't take this risk. Don't take this risk. Because this falls under la yanibat. La yanibat means futile talk. The fourth category of speech is those speech, there's no good in there, no bad in there. And therefore it is useless. Why speaking something there's no good in it? Therefore, if you ponder properly, three quarter of our speech is useless. 3/4 of what we talk is useless. Coming back to the first category, Imam Al-Ghazali raises a very important point. What about the good talk that we speak? He says, this one there is a harm in it. This one also. This one, we must be very careful that I'm talking deen in front of you, but in my heart there is show off. In my heart, I want to show you I know a lot. In my heart, there are other hidden agendas why I'm talking about good, about this one, about this one. Therefore, if this is in my heart, which is hidden in my heart, even this must not be taught. Hence, the masla is, a Muslim must only talk beneficial talk, and that also, he must speak it less. He must speak less. Ulama Ikram explain that the harm of speaking, the harm of not controlling our tongue, is the consequence, the consequences are very, very, very deep. Very deep for a person who wants to reform himself spiritually. The harm of not controlling one's tongue are two main harms. The first one, he loses humility. Humbleness is this person. And this is the maqsad of tasawuf. Hum kuch nahi hai. Allah sab kuch hai. We are absolutely nothing. We are worse than even the pig. When we reach that stage, we have the state of fanahiyat. We are absolutely nothing. We are nothing in the heart, in the creation of Allah. We are the worst person. We don't have this self-high esteem of ourselves. Hum kuch hai. We are somebody. When we have, this is a tasawuf. We finish ourselves. We are for Allah. Allah is everything. Well, this is what the path of tasawuf is all about. To become a human being without this arrogance, with a clean heart, with a sound heart. But if this itself is taken away from us, how can we progress? The second harm of talking excessively is, it takes us away from Allah. Allah. It takes us away from Allah. How? When we start talking something which is la yani means futile talk. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentioned in Ihya Ulumuddin that there will be a special reckoning on the day of judgment, a special type of reckoning on that specific topic on la yani bat. Allah will have a special reckoning for futile talk on the day of Qiyamah. If there will be a special reckoning on that, what is the chance of us being saved on the Maidan-e-Hashar? What is the chance of us being saved on the Maidan-e-Hashar? This is why we got to ponder that it takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the reason behind it? Give you an example. You take a kettle, you want to boil water. But just before the water starts boiling, you put it off. What happened? The water starts cooling off. Depending the temperature now, you want to put it on again. If it's completely cold, it takes longer to boil again. But if there's still some heat in there, what happened? It boils quicker. You understand my example? When a person starts talking la yani bat, only a person whose mind is not on Allah will involve in la yani bat. Only a person whose heart is ghafil of Allah, who will indulge in conversation which got nothing to do with Allah, which is not beneficial. So the moment your heart becomes ghafil of Allah, this split of a second, it has a direct effect on our heart. Just like this kettle, you put it off. This desire, this blazing desire in our heart to love Allah, to come close to Allah, you're cooling it off. When you're cooling it off, what is happening? You're distancing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, it keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we talk excessively. Very important to understand that the urge that comes in our heart to speak need to be monitored. Ulama Kiram explained that the heart, the ideas come in our heart, we want to talk. How to monitor this talk, the speech? The first stage
is
when the thought comes, a person who has cleaned his heart, as we explained last week, our heart is like either there's a lot of dust in it, black dot you put under the one, it doesn't make any effect, or it's a plain sheet white paper. You put one dot, it's apparent. Depending on our spiritual level, it's an exercise we have to do. When a person's his heart is clean, it is a quick spiritual exercise. I want to speak that. Is it the pleasure of Allah in that speech or not? That's the first stage. Your question you ask yourself, you've got to train your mind. We've got to train our mind. Like I gave the example of Mawlana Dr. Abdul Hayy Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi last week, that he trained his mind. He trained his mind to come to bring his amal in the Sunnah of Rasulullah. So we must train our mind, our hesitation. Mujahada has explained 2 weeks ago, is that hesitation that comes into us, do we do it or not do it? This is where you've got to take a decision on your mujahada. So when we are to speak, first thing we come to our mind, is the pleasure of Allah in that speech or not? But if we are weak, the next stage, the urge to talk comes in our heart. Oh, this one, he told me like this, I want to answer him back. I'm going to answer him back now. The moment the urge is coming out, try to suppress this urge, the second level of mujahada. But if it came out, we are weak still, the third level, what we must do? Ulama explain, the third level is to ask for tawbah. But if we speak something which got to do with somebody, we hurt the feeling of somebody, we make the ghibat of somebody, then making tawbah is not going to sort out of a problem. Then ulama say, we must go and seek forgiveness with that person. What if this person is no more here? The other person died. What we must do? Ulama go further than this. Then you must ask forgiveness for ourselves on that person. Allahumma ghfirli wa lahu. Allah forgive me and forgive him. So it's not an easy thing. We just spare a word, we just talk to somebody. It got to be monitored. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given examples in his Awlubuddin how to control your speech, which is a very difficult exercise to do. He says, if you speak a sentence and you want to explain it further, don't explain it further, keep quiet. Because like when you try to explain it further, you're going to be involved in other things. Very important. This is how to control this tongue. Either is going to take us in Jannah or is going to take us in Jahannam. Now, ulama explained, there's another masala on that, about controlling the tongue. I told you there are four types of speech. The three-quarter of our speech is useless, futile. It is harmful. But the one which is permissible, the beneficial speech, there are two types there. We got to see if it is for show-off, we must abstain from that. But if it is not for show-off, we sincerely mean it. Then the Sharia says, if in a speech which is necessary to speak, then what is the meaning of necessary? What is necessity? Necessity means if there will be a worldly or a akhirvi, that is in this world or in the hereafter, we're going to suffer a harm, then it is compulsory to speak. Ulama say it is compulsory to speak. Example, you are a businessman. You got to convince the person to buy your commodity. You got to be eloquent, and as long as you're speaking, because this is for us, for you to work. The hadith of Rasulullah says, "Kasbul halal faridatun ba'dan farida." To acquire a halal rozi is for us after you have fulfilled all your other farais. So you got to work hard to sell your product, of course, within the Sharia limit. So if you speak the whole day to sell your product, for example, you are working in the government, you are dealing a nuclear reactor, you are going to talk 5 minutes. Maybe 1 week speech will go on there. The whole 1 week speech is going to be ibadat for you. It won't affect your heart. This iota of sin won't come in your heart. So when it is necessary to talk, this is the meaning of necessity. If you're going to have a dunyawi harm or a harm in the hereafter, then a person must talk. Must talk. So Sharia didn't tell us to put a seal on our tongue. What Sharia is telling us is control our speech. Because the tongue is the worst organ in our body. It is the worst organ in our body. Now, If you look at the life of other great akabir, I've read some biographies by people writing, like Mansur al-Malaz, he says for 40 years after Aisha, I never spoke. I've read the life of other people for 60 years after Aisha, they never spoke. This is a level of control they had over their tongue. Because of the hadith of Rasulullah, if you haven't got a good reason to speak after Aisha, go and sleep quickly. Go and speak, go and sleep quickly after Aisha. These people understood the meaning of silence. Silence is so important because it saves us time, number one. It saves us from guna, right? And not only guna, the harm of guna. Guna, sin, has its effect in this world as well. Oof, what is the proof of it? When we drink water, what is the dua we read? We say, oh Allah, we praise Allah to have given us sweet water, and He has not made the water bitter because of our sin. Our sin can convert the water bitter. This is the effect of sin, but we don't feel it. This is a great ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to understand Islam and to control our tongue. People, it is reported of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that people came to him and asked, they said, you people, don't talk. Don't talk. People say, this is difficult, how you talk? He says, if you want to speak, speak only good things. Speak only good things. The silence of a Muslim is so important. I cannot express it in a few words. The simple word Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Man sakata naja. Whoever observes silence, whoever observes silence, he has attained salvation. He has attained salvation. Now, the ulama has gone one step further than this now. Is silence important or zikr? Look how the Sufyan al-Kiram has gone deep in this subject matter. When ulama are telling us, don't speak too much, excessive talk, control our speech. It says, speech on itself is harmful. To silence in itself is harmful. Understand how deep the wali of Allah goes in this subject. Why is it harmful? Because if you're just keeping quiet like this, this cannot be the shan of a salik, a person who tread the path of tasawwuf. Because his heart is ghafil of Allah. How is it possible that a salik, a person, the path of tasawwuf, his heart is absent from the remembrance of Allah. So they say, even though you are silent, train your heart in zikrullah. If not, this silence is going to be a loss for you. This silence is going to be a loss. It's not going to be an ibadat for you. So they say, involve yourself in zikrullah in your heart. This is why Rasulullah says, when you ponder upon that, Ajib hadith, Mawlana Karim Rahmatullah has mentioned that also in Fazail Amal, that let your tongue be absorbed with zikrullah. And my teacher, Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahab, was saying something ajib in one of his bayan, that people, by taking the name of Allah, it was so much Allah, Allah, they get sweetness in their tongue. Allah. Taking the name Allah, it developed sweetness. They could get a sweetness in their tongue. This is very advanced level. I don't know whether we can talk about those things. People like me, I can't even dream of reaching that level. But some people have reached that level. For my teacher, Mu'afaz Rahman Sahib, Sheikhul Hadith, to mention this type of things in his bayan, it must be true. This is the power of silence coupled with zikrullah. That Allah give you the sweetness of His name on your tongue. What sweetness? I remember there was, I don't know whether I mentioned to you, when the British were colonizing India, they were killing the ulama, there were jihad and so on. There was one alim, my teacher Mufti Mutara Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhum, narrated us when we were doing hadith, he mentioned this to us in class, that one Alim, I think he was a lecturer in Darul Uloom Deoband. I'm not so sure about it. I forgot. He gave us his name also. I forgot. When he used to lecture, he used to lick his lips like this. I don't know whether I told you that. And they asked him, Hazrat, why? When you, he said, when the ulama was shaheed, a lot of ulama were made shaheed in India. The hoor were coming with goblets from Jannah, with sharbat of Jannah. By mistake, they came to me and they just put one, they just touched my lips with that. And the other hoor said, this one has not been shaheed yet. By mistake, it just touched it on my lips. The taste of it still, I just want to lick it every now and then. If this is the halat, the feeling of a person who tasted the sharbat of Jannah, what is the taste of the name of Allah on the tongue? Can we visualize the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to the zakirin? These are people who mention his name. This is why in one of the couplets of Hakim Akhtasab, Dama Barakatuhum, he was inspired in Rose Mubarak to compose this couplet. Allah, Allah, kitna pyara naam hai. Oh Allah, Allah, what a beautiful name you got. Iti shirast naam. It is a name which is sweeter than sugar. It is a name sweeter than sugar. You will find in the biographies of Sufyan al-Kiram, ajeeb thing, that when they used to take the name of Allah, they became drunk. Not drunk with the like wine. The hard that they go through, they become like drunk. But not this type of drunk that we understand, we're seeing the drunkard walking on the street. Other, another phase. I'm going to give you a secret that my teacher gave me. You want to hear it? A beautiful secret. His name is Hafiz Yusuf Kundiwala Sab, Dama Barakatuhum. He told me, if you want to bring Amal in you, there are four stages. It's a secret. Salim Bhai, it's a secret. There are four stages. The first one is ilm, knowledge. You want to do a good action, acquire a thorough knowledge of it so that you can maximize on that. You can optimize on that. For example, you want to do wudu. If you know of the minutest mustahabat and a person who just rushing, your wudu and that person wudu cannot be the same. Impossible. You're using your miswak. For example, Rasulullah said in the hadith to this effect, لَوْلَا شَكْوَ عَلَى الْأُمَّةِ لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ. If it was not heavy on my ummah, I would have made it compulsory upon them to use miswak. Now the great wali of Allah who used miswak, those mewati we heard in Jamaat, that one day forgot his miswak in the train and he was becoming mad. My miswak. Why? Why this feeling? A miswak is small toothpaste. Why is crying for the miswak? The haqiqat of the sunnah went in his heart. We haven't reached that level to understand those things. Because our knowledge is so limited on the virtue of the sunnah of Rasulullah. So the very first thing is to acquire a thorough knowledge. For example, we learn the word Allah. If you read Tafsir al-Baydawi, Allama Baydawi rahmatullah alayhi has given the very surah Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. On that section, very first part, first ayah, first page of Tafsir al-Baydawi, he has given 13 meanings of the word Allah. 13 meanings. What is the difference between a person taking the word Allah and a person who did the tafsir? Is it the same? Is it the same? Cannot be the same. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it comes in the hadith to this effect, that the two rakat nafil of an alim is better than 100 rakat of an abid. Because when this alim we say Allahu Akbar, what he understands, the communication, his mind, his heart, the connection with Allah, he's not like us. Except a person who has really reached that level, he great wali of Allah. Now the question is, who is an alim? Is it a person who goes to Darul Uloom to a Darsi Nizami? Or go to Al-Azhar University or Cambridge? Or Harvard? You got a PhD? No. That's not the meaning of an alim. Ilm is a sifat of Allah. still is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Quran Majid is the kalam of Allah, is the sifat of Allah. Ilm is the sifat of Allah that he shares with his banda who he loves. Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam did not go to Darul Uloom. Yet he has more knowledge than Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was Kalimullah. Explain it to me. So ilm is not what is in the books. It is that knowledge that Allah opens your heart and put it in there. And the best knowledge you get, it comes in a hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you knowledge. If you know something, you practice upon it, Allah gives you more knowledge from his side. You call it ilmi ladunni. This is the highest form of knowledge which Rasulullah had. His instructor was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam also got Allah from, get knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. This is an alim. He was asked to Umar radiallahu anhu, who is an alim? An alim is a person who knows something and practice upon it. Harvard University, you go, brothers, believe me, you'll be shocked, the encyclopedic knowledge those professors got on Islam. Me and you, got all the masjids put together here, who maybe have a quarter of their knowledge, or even 1% of their knowledge. That is knowledge. It's not ilm. Ilm, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, that ilm is a celestial knowledge. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala also says that. It is a celestial knowledge that Allah put in the heart. So if we want to enhance the intensity of this nur in our heart, we got to practice. And to practice, you must know more. Go to the ulama. There are two types of knowledge. One is through the books, and one is you get it from the ulama. The ulama is a silsila. The sunnah goes up to Rasulullah. It will be more reliable rather than we ourselves do it. But if there is nobody, you do it, you are forced to acquire knowledge. So, utubul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim. It is for us and every Muslim to acquire knowledge. So the very first stage is to acquire a thorough knowledge. Once we got the knowledge, is the action. Make sure that you act upon that knowledge with ikhlas, with sincerity. When a person does that, the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this action become so important in his life that it becomes a hal. Allah Akbar. You are conditioned on this action. For example, with what foot you enter masjid? Right foot. What foot you enter toilet? Left foot. I am not there to tell you. But you have learned it. The love of Rasulullah is in your heart. Even by mistake you enter with your left foot, what are you going to do? You go out and you re-enter again. It's a sunnah. But you, because why you have reached the level of hal? This action is part and parcel of your life. You cannot take it out of your life. It's a hal in you. It is a hal. It's a condition. You cannot do without it anymore. Your mind, you, like you call it, if you want to call it, if I can compare it with Pavlov theory. You know the Pavlov theory of conditioning. Pavlov was a Russian scientist. He developed the theory of conditioning, reflex. And this is how you find when you drive, even your mind is not here, something appears in front of you, you apply your brake. Because you have been conditioned so much. So the reflex theory of Pavlov, he conditioned his dog with a bell to come and eat. So what happened one day, he didn't put the food. So he rings the bell and the saliva came from the dog. Because we're so conditioned. So I'll just give you an example. So this is the hal of a Muslim. When the sunnah, the ilam, he wants to put it into him. But then there's one stage higher than hal. Is maqam. Maqam is at a higher level now. Maqam is even in your sleep. Even in your sleep, this sunnah or this azkar is manifesting in you. There was a great wali of Allah of India. What happened to him? He had to go for an opt. So he was unconscious. So they were changing his clothes. What happened? He was a non-Muslim. They're putting the clothes, putting it. He's unconscious, like this again. Putting us. But what happened? His khadim was there. The khadim says, I know what is the problem. Let me do it. The khadim comes on the right hand side and put it on the right hand side, and he was cool. Because sunnah, to start with your right hand side, even he was unconscious. In the level of unconsciousness, he reaches a maqam of putting your right hand side first in your clothes. That is his level of unconsciousness. He could not accept you start with your left hand side. This is maqam. When you put the sunnah on this level, this is what we must try to attain. This is why you will find that Sahaba ikram, even in their sleep, they were doing zikr. It comes that the jugular vein was pumping. I've read the ayat on that. Even the sleep they were doing evil in zikr. This was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahi was coming on the heart of Rasulullah sallam. His heart was never sleeping. Because the heart cannot sleep if wahi was to come. Because sleep is ghafil. Rasulullah sallam's heart was that level. It's above maqam. But we can, nobody can do that level. Rasulullah's heart is above the maqam that we are talking of. So, to come to that level of zikrullah, besides zikr and many other things, these are the three, four stages to go. We must learn the azkar. Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi has put a whole virtue of zikr in his Fazail Amal. We can read that. We can read, there are so many ahadith on that. But because of time is over, I'm going to stop here. It's very important to understand that controlling our tongue, there are stages to go. And this is the organ that will, inshallah, will decide our Jannah. Rasulullah has guaranteed Jannah on that. What more else do we want? What else do we want? I'm going to end it on a frightening note. There was a young Sahabi who was Shaheed, Ghariban, in the Battle of Uhud. His mother came on the battlefield and said, "Oh, my son, you are a Shaheed. Shaheed, I mean, you don't even give ghusl to Shaheed. Before the blood comes on the soil, they're Jannati. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ." Don't say about those who have passed away, have died the path of Allah, dead. They are alive, but you people perceive not. The Quran saying that. It's a maqam of a Shaheed. That's a topic on its own. What is the status of a Shaheed? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the mother, on the battlefield, who has informed you about this? Who knows? He uttered something that should have not been uttered. These are serious things. There was another Sahabi, Ghaliban was Ka'b radiallahu anhu, passing away. I read this in Hiya ul-Mudir by Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. The mother, again, same scenario, expressing that his son may be passed away and be a shaheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same thing. Who informed you about this? Maybe he uttered something that you'll have to account for. Look, who are we talking here? Sahaba ikram who was shaheed in the battle, who gave their life. Rasulullah is reminding the mothers, not any Tom, Dick and Harry. And what her mind, state of mind, she has lost her son. Rasulullah is talking like this. The seriousness of the matter of not controlling our tongue on the battlefield, Rasulullah is reminding the mother, who are we? Who are we? We keep on talking and talking and talking. And I'm the first one, I told you from the beginning, whatever I speak for myself. All those thoughts are in myself. Very important to control our tongue. I took a bit more time today. I'm going to stop because the tongue is the worst mujahada to do. Ulama explained, despite of the difficulty of controlling the tongue, yet Sharia imposes control of that. This must give us an idea how serious it is to control our tongue. It's very difficult, the most difficult organ to control. You want to have sex, brothers in Islam, the 31st day you're on honeymoon, you enjoy 1 year, 2 years, and then you're fed up with that. It becomes a limit. You want to eat, you're a good eater. 1 plate of biryani, 2 plate of biryani, and then you're fed up with biryani. Right? But the tongue, we are so involved in talking, even in our sleep we talk. This is how we don't have control of our tongue. This was, despite this difficulty, Sharia has given strict warning on that. Most masail concerning our sin is about our tongue. This is why I've taken a few time. You try to understand the fourth hour of speech is that we have mentioned and try to control ourselves. And make dua especially for me. I talk too much myself at times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. Let us think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, one day I give a lecture on the meaning of Allah, if Allah wills. So that our haqiqat, with who we are negotiating, we are communicating, we want to come close to us, the haqiqat comes in our heart. Allah. يا أول الأولين يا أخير الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد
اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا، غير المغضوب